Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, and my co-host, Aaliyah, and we are here today with Vinny from Belushi Speedball, who's going to be here with us for the next 20-25 minutes or so to discuss the band, marketing, all sorts of crazy stuff. So to start off, welcome, Vinny, to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So to start off, why don't we kind of start off with having you kind of give a nutshell version of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm Vinny in Belushi Speedball. I do vocals and guitar, and I write a lot of the music. Me and the drummer write majority. You know, obviously the bassist writes all her parts and stuff. But yeah, we do crazy theatrical stage shows. So it's essentially destroying the venue whenever we play every time.
Nice. So to start off, so for anybody who's not listening, so Belushi has a lot of crazy stuff that they do in terms of marketing and stuff. That's why we invited him on. But first of all, let's talk about the name. So you explained the name to me, I think it was like 3 years ago when we first met. I just assumed it was like heroin.
No.
But can you explain it to me, please?
Yeah, so common misconceptions, we're named after Jim, not John, Jim Belushi. And it's his love of Sonic Spinball, but that knucklehead calls it Speedball. So it's the full name is Jim Belushi, Sonic Speedball.
That's the full band name?
Yeah, but we shorten it to Belushi Speedball, just to not confuse anyone.
Okay. Okay, so why did you pick something that like that? Because like I said, it's like the drug thing. Like I just automatically assumed you guys were a bunch of crackheads or something like that, right? Right when I saw the name.
Drugs are bad. So, you know, we want people to play Sonic for Sega Genesis instead of doing drugs.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Cool. I think Aaliyah wants to say something. Aaliyah, were you going to jump in?
So that's a good life philosophy.
Thank you.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we go on any further here, I just want to clear something up here. Okay. So it's based on Belushi, the Sonic the Hedgehog pinball game, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So now let me ask you this. Why did you guys release your new album on a Nintendo 64 cartridge if you guys are Sonic the Hedgehog fans?
Oh, yeah. I'm still working on trying to get it to work for Sega Genesis, so we'll see.
Okay.
It's a money thing, you know, so I actually have one of them. This is a video, right? So people can see that.
Yeah.
I have one ready to go because people always ask whenever we do this. It's a money thing, so I could do Game Boy Advance and N64 and sell them for a reasonable price. I programmed a ROM, and it's actually I can't really say the name because, you know, Nintendo gets upset, but it's a Delta hack. But you know, I resprited everything so it looks like members of our band, and I stuck our music in it, and it's a fully playable video game that has our music. But in order to release that Super Nintendo, the cartridges would be like $150 a piece.
Oh, wow.
And then as of right now with Sega, it's kind of in the same boat, but I'm trying to find an alternative route. So
so Aaliyah, did you have a question before I go on?
Yeah, so are you only able to do that because you have the coding knowledge or the ability to do this yourself, or is there a supplier that you go through how did you manage this?
Yeah, I like hacking video games, and I've been doing it since I was a kid. And it's usually just sprite hacking, right? So it's like where you redraw the character. And we have a fully playable video game that is on the Game Boy Advance called Diablo Dragon. You play as our manager. It's not that impressive. It's just you redraw all the different animations. And I just kept pushing it further and seeing what I could do. Now with the Nintendo, I don't want to say what video game I hacked in order to do that one. But with the Nintendo, I had to get outside help. I was able to do some of the like ROM hacking on it, but to finalize the product and actually get it like the ROM working, I had to go to an outside coding source for that. And I don't, you know, it's like a proprietary blend. Everyone, I get messages every day like, hey, how'd you do this? And it's usually followed by, my band would really like to do this. And, you know, it's like my my herbs and spices for KFC, you know, I don't want to give out too much. And then the Game Boy Advance, I did that all myself. That's not anything too crazy. It took about 4 months to get it to work, but it was someone originally made an MP3 playing program for Game Boy Advance, and it was a matter of actually getting to program that MP3 player, which is kind of a headache, but you know.
So now moving on from that for a second here, because I know we only got like 15 minutes, so I want to get next and we can circle back on that. No, it's all good. I got more questions on it. I just don't want to run out of time. So the Dunkaroos thing. What the fuck was up with? Okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, so the band released, was it a single on Dunkaroos or was it an album? Yeah. I remember. It was single. A single, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of explain that? Like what, I don't even get it, but it was weird, but it was neat.
So that's an inside joke. I'm going to be more serious during this interview, by the way, because usually when I have the other band members, we get really drunk and we never give a real answer. So I'm going to be more serious with this one for you. It was an inside joke on Stella 1 too, on the album. We had, you know, Senor Diablo rant about why we were doing a double EP. And his whole joke was that he was holding the LP ransom until he found Dunkaroos in stores again. Because we heard that year that Dunkaroos were going to come back. And if you remember, this is during the pandemic.
Yeah, I remember.
Like it was the only thing we were looking forward to. And so once we found Dunkaroos, I went ahead and stuck our little thing in there that it's the same way I used it to program our single on the Furbies. It's nothing too crazy. It's just like a little recorder and you know, you have to just kind of program it. And so we went ahead and released a single on Dunkaroos and then released the vinyl LP for Stella 1 too. And so, yeah.
I forgot about the Furby. Can you go over what you did with the Furby? I totally forgot about the Furby. There's more, I'm sure, that I'm forgetting. Go over the
Furby. Yeah, there's quite a few. I always try to just see what can I do, what can I get away with. The Furbies, I went in and I gutted their voice box and I put our own single in it. And I used a Furby called Furby Boom because they have digital eyes. And so when Furbies hear music, they'll dance. And so I knew if you play our single, it would start dancing. Well, with the digital eyes, you would see it like frowning and headbanging. And so it just kind of showed it working. But yeah, we made singles on a Furby. I think I made 30 of them. They were kind of like a made to order thing and they're a pain in the butt. I think I'm making them. I may make a couple more here down the road.
Did anyone buy it? Just out of curiosity?
Yeah. Yeah. They're on our, all this stuff is on our Bandcamp. And you'll see sold out, you know, and I keep kind of, I keep, a lot of people remove their merchandise when it sells out. I keep a lot of our stuff up there because we've done a lot of really obscure things. Mm-hmm. And then once in a while, I'll be like, you know what, I'll make five more and I'll update it. People that follow us will get an update on it. So.
Cool. Aaliyah, did you have a follow-up?
No, I just think it's so cool. You're so creative with how you release your music.
Oh, thank you.
Just it's like
effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a testament. Like anything you can imagine, you can make it happen.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I agree. You know, you got to be creative and think outside the box. And it's I will say this. It's fitting for our band because we built a band that can do whatever we want. You know, some bands like that take themselves more serious. There's nothing wrong with that if you want to go down the avenue, but a really serious, you know, death metal band, metalcore band, or whatever, that's their marketing strategy. It's not going to make sense if they're releasing a single on a Furby. Right. You know, it looked very out of place. So,
So let me ask you this. So now, what other creative ideas have you had that you have not been able to make come into fruition yet, other than what you've said?
A Tiger electronic handheld. I made a prototype and it worked. It's the same concept of the Furby. You got the speaker out, put it in there. I got to get some custom stickers made. And then, I have one over here. It's not always just musical things. Like, we made skateboards.
Yeah, I saw those. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to make tech decks. And I haven't done it yet because I'm lazy.
You're going to make what? Tape decks? Is that what you said? Tech decks,
fingerboards, little mid boards for the people
who support them.
So, nice. Yeah.
Are you going to ever do anything like super goofy, like the Fisher Price records or anything like that at some point? Or is that another question? Do you really?
I really want to. I've looked into it. It's more complicated. Just like hit clips. Hit clips were a thing.
I remember those.
I don't know what that is. I don't think that's up in Canada, but anyways, yeah.
It was early 2000s Tiger electronic music. It was like these little clips you would put in, and they're for like kids, and it would play like a minute of music.
Yeah. And
I wanted
like
to do that.
Like a cassette would go in, but it was like a micro cassette.
Yes, exactly. Someone did already about this year. I was looking into it to see if anyone's ever tried it. Someone succeeded, but what he did was really like, he built his own circuit boards and it was real intense. So
let me ask you this, Vinny. Okay, we got about 8 minutes left. Leah, okay. Do you want to fire off a question before I do my couple? Okay, so first of all here, so number one, now how do you make it so that way you don't come across as a total gimmick band? Because that's what I was concerned about at first when you told me about all this stuff 2 years ago or whatever. I was like, these guys are going to be looked upon as a gimmick, but you're not. You're not. Like, I mean, people like it. They think it's cool, but it's not like, you know, you're the toy band or something like that. You know what I mean?
You know, so I think it's because, man, I wish Bo was here, the member of my band. He could really explain this better than me, but I think it's because our priority is having fun and it's not getting famous. We just want to see what can we do that we've never seen before that we would find entertaining. And every single show we do is a different theme. It's different theatrically. We don't repeat the same thing. So like, for instance, on Halloween, we threw out like 3 bales of hay indoors and it was really bad. And then, you know, we played out of the band dressed up as Mad Max. We dressed up as Batman because we played with our friends in Fox Bat, and we had like 20 people just one after another come on stage as a different villain jumping into the crowd. And so coming up here, we're playing a skate park. We've done it last year where we played inside the bowl of a skate park in Louisville. It's like a 12-foot deep bowl. And, you know, we got to one up what we did last year. And so I can't really give too many hints, but, you know, it'd be really cool if that bowl was like full of, I don't know, like foam or something. Right. So.
Okay. Now next question. So you guys are all a bunch of teachers. I know you said we could talk about this here. So, how do you kind of keep, do you talk about this at school? Like, how do you keep, like, I mean, it's a weird side job for a teacher to be playing in a metal band that's like thrash metal,
right?
How do you kind of keep it separate, or do you, or?
Yeah, so you know, one of the things that's really cool for the kids to see is that I'm a real human being outside of teaching. Fair. Growing up, almost all that's all they were teachers, right? And the kids appreciate that. The other thing too is I don't ever talk about the band directly in terms of like the name or my music, so the kids know I'm in a band, and they'll ask me. We do something called community building every Monday. I ask them, what'd you do every weekend? And sometimes they'll ask me, if I played a show, I'll tell them that. But I find I want to keep it separate, being in the classroom, from advertising my own band to them. It's kind of a, you know, so I don't say the name because it feels wrong to be like, hey, all these kids are stuck in the room with me for an hour. And then, you know, I basically have a platform to talk to them about anything I want. And, you know, I don't want to like market my own band to them while they're trapped in that room with me, but they do know I play music. And then a lot of them end up going on their own and finding out what the band is and becoming a fan that way, but they won't find out from me. So they do their own research if they care enough.
Nice. And then I got one last question, and I'll let Aaliyah maybe ask one more if she wants to. Sure. So now, okay, so the lyrics. Do you write the lyrics? I don't even know if you do. Do you write the lyrics?
Okay. Yeah.
So the first, I think it was the first single we did on this album, if I'm not mistaken, it was Ripping Off. No, it wasn't Ripping Off Municipal Waste. Was it that one? Was that the first one? I don't even remember. Can you explain that? Because that was hilarious.
Thank you.
That was hilarious. And it was like, it was cool too, because it wasn't like a lot of bands, like they have the novelty lyrics, but then they can't match it up with the music. But you guys had the music plus the lyrics. Can you just kind of go over that a little bit?
So we've been through quite a few releases. So last album we had, we're not Thrashers, we're Hipster Poser. And this kind of comes from the same thing, to where it was just, it was a backhanded compliment. I think maybe he meant it as a compliment. But we got done playing a show and a fan came up to me and he said, at least someone around here is ripping off Municipal Waste. And it just, I thought it was so funny. And so I was like, I'm going to write a song all about that. And we tried to take like every trope that Municipal Waste does in their music, you know, like the two-step, you know, breakdowns. And so, yeah, you know, we have a lot of fun. Basically, a lot of our music will either be addressing something mean, something said, someone said to us, because we like, or it's about SpongeBob or cartoons or, you know, pop culture, video games. So,
now, actually, I think that's my last question because we're already at 7:40. So, Aaliyah, do you have any more questions you want to go over with?
Just real quick, do you have any tips on marketing strange ideas like yours for bands?
Or
does the idea market itself?
Am I able to say this? You got to hire a PR person.
Oh.
So, you know, like...
we advocate for that.
Yeah. I don't know. So that's the biggest thing. Curtis, obviously, that's how we know each other. Curtis helps me out there. That's huge. You know, so we get a PR person. And then you got to hit all the social medias. It's a full-time job, and just uploading little clips of it, uploading videos. And one thing I will say, you say advice, if like the first time you have an idea and you release it and it doesn't get as much reception, wait a month and you can go ahead and repost the video as a reminder to people. You know what I mean? It's not shameless. It's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how social media's algorithm works. And all of a sudden it might catch traction. So.
Cool. I think I am done if Aaliyah wants to end us off with the outro.
We can wrap this up. Thank you so much for coming on, Vinny, and everyone listening. Until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.